Welcome back to White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. Early July, and the hockey landscape continues to evolve and change around us. But as we continue to check in on various WHL markets, today we head to Red Deer and a chat with an individual that has been no stranger to this show over the years. Not only is he a former WHL player, but he is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Red Deer Rebels and, frankly, just an all-around good dude. Welcome back to Giants This Week, Cam Moon. Good to have you on, pal. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for the build-up there. I don't know if I can live up to the hype, but I'll do my best.
Before we dive in, Cam, I mean, yourself, your family, your colleagues with the Red Deer Rebels, obviously the hope is that that you're doing your part to be positive and safe and upbeat during what has been a fairly up and down time for all of us. First and foremost, man, just hoping that things are positive as possible in your world.
Oh, absolutely. It has been. Central Alberta has done a really, really good job since this whole thing hit, to limiting the spread of the virus. And like, as it sits right now, we have one or two active cases in Red Deer. So it's been real good. Yeah, everybody's been safe, and these are good things. Hopefully it stays as good as it has been here.
So with these guests that I've had on, Cam, from throughout the league, I like to start with a little bit of a question called, where were you when? What do you remember about, you know, March 11th, I think was the precise date when, you know, a basketball game got canceled and the sporting world as we knew it completely changed. What were the Red Deer Rebels doing? What were the Red Deer Rebels preparing for back in mid-March when all of this hit the fan?
So the Rebels played that night in Swift Current. The night before, they were in Medicine Hat. So it was a little two-game swing. We're playing in Swift, and there had been talk during the day that, you know, that this looked like it was going to be bad. But, of course, it hadn't really got to that yet. And we're playing in Swift. I'm doing the broadcast, and I'm keeping my eye on Twitter all night. And about halfway through our game, or maybe in the first period of the game, is when the NBA shut stuff down. And then I was like, uh-oh. I was thinking to myself, I wonder what tomorrow looks like. So we played the game, of course, after the game was over, talked about, you know, how things got shut down and what it's going to mean to us on the 6.5-hour bus ride home. And then, of course, the next day, that was it. Like, we weren't playing anymore. That would have been the Thursday morning, and all the players were long gone by Sunday. So it happened quick. And next thing you know, we were sitting in a situation where you just didn't know what was going to happen next. So yeah, it was quick, from the euphoria of a win on the road in Swift Current to the season being over.
Totally weird, man. I mean, and you and I have both been in the racket for a fair amount of time. We've got some bus stories for days, I'm sure, but you know, just crazy to think back about how all of us were just kind of shocked, really, at how quick this whole thing came. I've spoken about it on this show before a little bit, but we were actually supposed to have a 3-3 that weekend. We were going to go host the Seattle Thunderbirds on Friday, go to Seattle Saturday, and then come back and play Prince George on the Sunday at home. And all of the scuttlebutt heading into that weekend was that the Seattle Thunderbirds were not going to be allowing fans. So maybe no better time to have to go and play a game at the Showare Center without having those rabid fans behind you. And of course that never happened, and nothing really has been the same since. But so I guess trying to have as much of a hockey talk with you, Cam, as we can, given all of this, not long before the shutdown, the Red Deer Rebels and the Vancouver Giants went head to head in a game that took place in February. And I guess a two-part question for you. What stood out to you about the Vancouver Giants when you saw them play the one time in 2019-20? And give us a sense of where you felt the Red Deer Rebels were trending kind of towards the end of that season? Because for what it's worth, and we talked about it even when you were at the LEC, man, the Red Deer Rebels, they do not make it easy on anybody, and they are a team that I'm certainly going to have my eye on as and when things resume.
Well, first of all, I thought the Giants, it looked to me like, and of course I'm looking at it from the outside in the first half of the season, that there was ups and downs in the Giants' first half, and that's pretty typical for most teams. But by the time the Rebels rolled through there, they looked like they had everybody on the same page. And it was a really, it was going to be an awful tough test for a very young Red Deer Rebels team. So I knew the Rebels were going to have their work cut out for them, which they most certainly did. But I thought the Rebels gave it a heck of an effort that night. And that's what we saw from the Rebels all year. Early in the season, you know, this was a team that had, I want to say, 12 guys that were 16 or 17 on the team. They only had three 19s, only had two 20s. So it was a very young club. And early in the year, you know, they had it handed to them a few times for sure when they went up against the older, stronger, better teams like your Edmonton Oil Kings or the Medicine Hat Tigers. They certainly had some tough games against those guys and the Lethbridge Hurricanes. But in the second half, you could just see that the confidence built, the experience of that first half of the year, and everybody getting on the same page, not unlike what the Giants did. And then the Rebels were starting to not only get victories in the second half, but also when they were playing like the best of the best, they were an awfully tough out. And I thought they were a real tough out for the Vancouver Giants that night, because I thought the effort was very strong. And that bodes well going into next season. The team graduates the 20s, the two 20s, but they only had the three 19s. So, you know, kind of looks like those are going to be the three 20s. And last year, the team only had one European player. And this year, you know, knock on wood, hopefully they'll have two after just taking one here in the import draft. But and the return of Christopher Sedoff. So, I see things going in the right direction for the team. Those younger players have to continue to develop. They have to hopefully have a really good summer training, but take what they've gained in that first year and then build off of it. Because if you just think it'll be easy because it's the second year, it won't be. It's still going to be really hard. So your effort level still has to be as good or better than it was in your first year.
Cam Moon, my guest here on White Spot Giants this week. He is the play-by-play voice of the Red Deer Rebels. And Cam, obviously, Bantam draft, so hard to truly gauge the success of a draft until about 3, sometimes even 4 years after the fact. But I know that the Red Deer Rebels made headlines when they selected Kalen Lind. Of course, there is a Vancouver connection with Cole Lind being a prospect of the Vancouver Canucks, Cole's younger brother, drafted by the Red Deer Rebels and then signing with the Red Deer Rebels to much fanfare. Give us the sense of what the mindset of the Rebels was when it came to this selection and what it was about Kalen that maybe put him ahead of others, and what has Brent said about him, what has Sean said about him, what are people excited about when it comes to Kalen Lind?
Well, the word on the street is he's a really highly skilled player. Right? He put up huge numbers in Bantam, in Saskatchewan. Now, in Saskatchewan, they don't tier the Bantam as top as quite as tight as, say, Alberta or BC. So it's a little more watered down, and you have to keep that in mind. But the word is that he's, you know, got a very high ceiling as far as skill goes. So that's great. The Rebels did have 4 picks in the first 2 rounds of the Bantam draft, so that was also very good. And you hope that, you know, you don't know that they're all going to hit and all going to be stars, but you hope that the bulk of them will be. And when you have 4 picks in the first 3 rounds, you certainly set the odds better in your favor. So Rebels took in those top two rounds, they took one from the Lower Mainland, and that was Arjun Bawa, who is Robin Bawa's son. Robin Bawa played in the NHL, played in the WHL with Kamloops and New West. So we hope that a couple years down the road that the product from Richmond, BC, is able to work his way into the Rebels lineup. So, yeah, you're right, though. Like, I love when people ask you after the Bantam draft, well, hey, how did it go for the Rebels?
A day or two later, yeah. Hey, did you guys have a good draft?
There are a bunch of names I don't really know because I'm not out scouting Bantam hockey. And so much can happen between the time you draft them and the time they become a regular with you at 17 or, you know, for the really, really good, the 16. So, yeah, a lot can change. Who knows? The best guy you took in the draft, he might be a fourth or fifth round pick. You don't know. And that happens all the time, and it's not even shocking. So, I don't know how good it was, but I guess we'll see.
So from there, Cam, I mean, as we begin to look a little bit ahead, and still a lot of balls in the air, we know about the WHL's return to play goal of October 2nd, but break down the Central Division a little bit for us as far as what some of these other teams have coming back. We kind of know where the Red Deer Rebels are in their cycle in that they are going to be a very heavy team when it comes to 17s and 18-year-olds. But when it comes to Edmonton, Calgary, Medicine Hat, Swift Current, Lethbridge, is there a team in that mix that you can point to immediately and say they are still going to be a real, real prominent threat in the division? Or are things typically Central being wide open?
I think the Edmonton Oil Kings, and they were really good this year. They're going to be really good again next year. Just looking at it right now, and I know things can change, but to me, they got to be the odds-on favorite in the Central. I see the Rebels on the way up, but they got a ways, you know, there's a ways to go yet. But to me, Edmonton's, they've got to be the one. Calgary had a really good club last year, but they had a lot of older players, so they'll graduate a bunch of guys. They might take a little bit of a step in their cycle backwards, but that's to be expected when you have that many older guys. I mean, Medicine Hat's still going to be a handful, and Lethbridge as well will still be a handful, and Red Deer will be in that mix with them, as will Calgary. But to me, the Edmonton Oil Kings, they've got to be the odds-on favorite going in. And when you got guys like, you know, Jake Neighbors, who will be going into his third year, and he is just such a strong go to the net, hard to get off the puck kind of guy that, they got a pretty good club. So, yeah, I think they're going to be a handful. And Dylan Gunther, I mean, he's been so good for him too. So, yeah, I would put Edmonton at the top of the list for sure.
Few more questions with Cam Moon, voice of the Red Deer Rebels here on White Spot Giants this week. And, you know, Cam, given the times that we are living in and all of this, for lack of a better term, downtime that we've seemingly had, one of the more interesting things for me has been looking at measures and ways that teams across the WHL have been kind of going to really interesting depths and areas to kind of create content and to create interest and to drum up chatter about the league. What could you tell us about some of the office conversation amongst the Red Deer Rebels about ways to kind of keep fans engaged during this time? And when you look at what you've been seeing elsewhere, I mean, what types of things have really, you know, caught your attention? I mean, things that come to my mind are classic games that are being shown and just interesting ways and interactive ways to keep sponsors in the loop and top of mind. I mean, really, it has forced a very new, unique way of doing things.
Yeah, it has. I love the classic games. I mean, looking back at some of the old games, I know Rebels have put a few on, and those have been really good. In particular, a game 7 of a second round series with the Regina Pats in 2016. I thought that was it was such an electric evening at the rink. That was fun. We've done some interviews with former players on Instagram Live, you know, just getting them to tell hockey stories. And those have been a lot of fun, you know, going back and kind of reliving moments with guys that have played with the Rebels and have gone on to NHL careers. So we've had a few of those. I know when it kind of first happened, we had some stuff on the Rebels website where kids could do activities on there. Some of it was coloring and those sorts of things that were engaging. All the kids that were now, you know, stuck at home and not at school anymore. And we kind of went in with some of the Red Deer public schools in on this, and that went over quite well. So that's all good. It's just, I mean, all of it, you're trying to do what you can, because the one thing that you want to do, which is host hockey games in front of lots of people, you can't do. So you got to make up some stuff so that you can stay, you know, somewhat top of mind for people, because when it's not there, and who knows when it's coming back, you got to come up with something. So I've seen other things, you know, other teams have done things along those same lines, and that's all been good. And a lot of this date in, you know, whatever year this sort of thing happened with whatever team, there's been a lot of that stuff too, because you know, the one thing we don't have is actual hockey.
Cam, what have you been reading? What have you been watching? And what have you been listening to during this extended summer?
All right. Well, and I like this is good. I've been reading and listening more than watching anything. I did get through Ozark on Netflix, which I thought was pretty good, because I appreciate Jason Bateman and everything that he does. And I thought the writing was pretty good. So I did watch that. I've watched some movies, but and some old baseball or football. Not a lot of old hockey, quite honestly. My watching habits, hockey's about third on the list. I'm more of a baseball, football guy, because we're in hockey all the time. So Right. Sometimes I get a little hockeyed out. As far as reading goes, I have been crushing books. Like, just going through them, Dan, like there's no tomorrow. And that's what I do during the season, too. I read a lot of books on the bus. I'm always reading. And there's, like, basically two different genres of books I read. I don't read fiction. It's all nonfiction. I try to learn. They're either sports related, or they're rock and roll related.
Nice.
Or they're true crime related. So one of the most recent I read, and this one, was heartbreaking, but really well done, was called Under the Bridge. And it's, I was working and living in Nanaimo when Rena Virk was killed in Victoria. So I just remember when that happened and how big a deal it was. And I recently read that book, which is incredibly well done. I thought it was written by Rebecca Godfrey, who is from Victoria, but I think she lives in New York now. But I thought she did a really good job. So and same thing with my listening. Around here, I listen to a lot of Edmonton radio. I'm from Edmonton. I cheer for the Oilers. I cheer for the Edmonton Eskimos. So I listen to a lot of Edmonton radio. But when it comes to podcasts, the only sports-related podcast that I would regularly listen to would be Off Air with Joe and Oral. It's a LA Dodgers podcast. Joe is the play-by-play guy, does TV for the Dodgers, took over from Vin Scully and does a really good job. And so that keeps me up to date with what's happening with the Dodgers, because they both work for the team and they get a lot of insight. So I go with that. And then I go with true crime. My favorite of the true crime is Someone Knows Something. It's a CBC podcast. David Ridgen is the guy that puts it together. That is unbelievable. And I fell upon this one. And again, this goes back to my time in Nanaimo. This one is called Island Crime, Where is Lisa? About a girl in Nanaimo that went missing and presumed dead. I believe it was 2002. So yeah, that one was really well done. I thought good work there. Oh, I also go with, I listen to Under the Influence, also a CBC podcast that is predominantly about advertising and marketing, which I find kind of interesting. So yeah, I'm trying to, I keep trying to learn, whether it's books or podcasts or what, because I mean, when you're starting from zero, like I am, I mean, I got nowhere to go but up when it comes to education.
Yeah, you know, and I think then that's kind of been a real meal ticket for a lot of us, is with all of this time, it's like, well, what are we going to apply our craft to, and how are we going to get better? Cam, about 2 minutes left with you. Give us the sense of the 2020 NHL draft and what you're expecting from the Red Deer Rebels front. A name you mentioned earlier in the conversation, Christopher Seedorf, likely going to be picked in the early rounds, getting some positive fanfare there. What kind of 2020 draft are you expecting? And am I right in thinking still that the streak for the Red Deer Rebels remains alive and that they've had at least somebody picked in every single NHL draft since they've been a franchise?
No, it ended last summer.
Oh, rats. Okay.
That was the first time they didn't. And that was from the 1993, because the Rebels' first year was 92-93. It was from 93 up until last summer. The Rebels had at least one person taken in the NHL draft. So that came to an end. Yeah, Christopher Seedorf's going to be a pick. I don't know where he's going to go, but I would guess around round three would be my guess. And then I would think Ben King has a real good shot. He's a guy that was acquired by the Rebels from the Swift Current Broncos last season, fit in real well with the Rebels, played on the line with Arshdeep Bains, who is from the Lower Mainland and was the Rebels' leading scorer. Those two work together quite well. And I would think that King, with especially the way his second half went, I thought he showed a lot in that second half with the Rebels, that, you know, maybe in the first half of the season, he might not have been real high on a lot of NHL teams' lists, but with what he did in the second half, he certainly put his name into the conversation. He went 38 points in 46 games with the Rebels last year after playing the first 16 in Swift Current. So yeah, I think Ben King, who is from Vernon, I thought, he got himself into the, like, he'd be a mid to later pick, but you know, he's a big body and showed really good skill. And the fact that him and Arshdeep played as well as they did together, that I think that gives him a chance too.
Well, Cam, as always, man, I really enjoy the conversation. And I think one of the main reasons why I feel you and I get along so well is that the conversation does. I mean, we both love hockey, but there's so many other things, be it baseball, be it business, be it anything, then there's just so many cool avenues to talk about with you. So again, just to bring this conversation to a close, want to continue to wish you and your family the very best in safety, health, and positivity. And before we know it, man, it would be great to meet up with you in Alberta and have a hockey game to discuss. But in the meantime, just continue to stay safe, continue to crush those podcasts and those books of yours. And we'll look forward to having this conversation again with you sooner than later.
I absolutely love it. Hope you stay safe, and I hope I see you soon.
Cam Moon, voice of the Red Deer Rebels on White Spot Giants this week. Big thanks to Cam, a big thanks to Justin Lees for joining me in segment number one, and a big thanks to you as well for continuing to support this show into the summer months. We'll talk to you again next week. I'm Dan O'Connor, and this has been White Spot Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.